Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome to the KP Podcast, guys. We're coming to you live today from the forum. You guys are going to be getting this the same day we're doing this. And so, Happy New Year, man. How you doing?
Dude, it is good. I did the first workout of the year today for me.
Well, you're slacking. Today's the fourth over there. Well, I'm glad to see you at it.
It ended on a weekend, right? So it ends on New Year's Eve was Saturday night. Yeah. So first day is Sunday. There's no way in hell I'm going to work out on Sunday.
So I'll tell you, we talked about that, right? So I went to the gym on Sunday.
It was
empty.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there was nobody there.
Let's be honest. Diet always still starts Monday. Like no matter if the New Year's is like the epitome of the world would be if New Year's Day was also on a Monday, would be the busiest day on the planet.
Next year.
Which is next year. Yeah. So watch out, gyms, because that's going to be the day. But this year, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll figure it out. You know, slow start, but we're in.
And it's Happy New Year 2023, guys. I would like to say, being in Arizona, we are super lucky in that.
70 degrees.
Well, not only that, but we get to watch the ball drop in New York at 10 p.m. our time. We go, Happy New Year, and old guys get to go to bed.
This is sad because me as a younger gentleman here, I like staying up till midnight playing games. Everybody else wants to go home at 10, and it's like,
I used to, but now I'm just like, you know what? Lame. I'm ready to go to sleep. With that, let's get into our 2023 prediction show. Some of you guys know this, some of you may not. First show of every year, we do the predictions. First, we're going to look back and see how did our predictions turn out from last year. Because I'll tell you, 2022 was kind of a crazy year.
We did not expect necessarily what happened.
There's a lot of sideways action here, if you will, like little out of nowhere.
I feel like this is kind of a reoccurring theme. Like we weren't expecting COVID to hit, and that one screwed up our prediction show. And then we go into the next year, and now we're like, we knew at some point it would happen, but we couldn't predict when.
I mean, some of these turned out pretty good, I gotta say, but. These last like 3 years, like we're living through some interesting times, as we keep saying. But let's jump into this, guys, and go over first. Let's review last year's picks and see our predictions, I should say, and see how that worked out. So we have broken it into three categories. First, we had our locks of the year. We had our bold predictions, which are a little bit out there. And then we had a fun one. I'm going to kick it off with the first lock. From last year, my prediction was that rental rates in the Phoenix metro area will rise more than home price appreciation.
No.
That was half and half. It was iffy. It was iffy. And I'll tell you what, here's how the numbers line up.
It's because of the condos and all that jazz.
It was. It's exactly what Keith's talking about. So home price appreciation, we ended the year in Phoenix up 9.4%. Overall rental rates was up 6.5%. However, single family homes were up 9.6%. So we did see, and this speaks, and this is why, you know, just to touch on it for a second, this speaks exactly what we're seeing in the market. We have a lot of multifamily coming to the market.
Yep.
Apartments that are dragging those down, a lot of supply. But what don't we still have any supply of? Single family homes, especially starter homes and affordable homes. We still see high rental demand there, low supply.
And rates are going up still.
Rents are still going up there. And as you see, appreciation was still up. Rents are still up. But we are seeing that a lot of supply coming out in multifamily and bringing that down.
All right. So the number two prediction that I had, I had a lock. And I really did. I was excited about this one. And it was Phoenix being one of the top three appreciating markets. Now, well, that's just coming after a year of 30%, and I was trying to get a little gutsy with it. I was like, okay, we could maintain it. And, I mean, still think about it. We just came off 30%. We still went up almost 10%, which is ridiculous to think that over 2 years, 40% growth.
Try over 3 years. Yeah. Well over 50, pushing 60%.
So we have some room, guys, out there that are skeptics, to pull back a little. We got some room, but we were number six. Miami was number one at 21%, but they had some more room to play. We were ahead of the curve on the growth. We hit it sooner than they did.
Absolutely, and we talked about that earlier last year where we had talked about who was going to be the number one, because remember, Phoenix was number one the year before. So 2021, Phoenix was number one in appreciation, over 30%. I remember we actually talked about
it. We knew it was Florida somewhere.
Florida.
So Miami makes sense.
And Tampa was number two. So Florida had number one and number two. And we talked about, we saw all the migration happen. All those people move up there, and they were still lagging in that those prices appreciation. So we're like, hey, Florida is probably going to take that top spot. They ended up taking the top two spots.
Yeah, when we take out all of Florida, I'm in. We got it for three. So Florida doesn't count. It's
still, that's still, it's, I don't its know own how your math works. But if you take out one and two,
you know, they're just trying to, like, you know, set off an eruption or something, earthquakes along that panhandle right there, just separate from the whole rest of the country at this point. I mean, so
they'd probably be happy with
that. Yeah. So they just want to be the Florida Islands. Like, they just want to, like, extend. So,
okay. So let's go with our third lock from last year. We will hit an all-time low in inventory in the Phoenix market. That was a pretty easy one, and that was correct.
Also messed up because in the same year, you hit like all-time lows and completely quadrupled.
Yeah, absolutely.
In 1 year's time.
So that's what happens. But yeah, we nailed that one. That one, we hit 4,200 active listings roughly. In February, which was all-time low for our Phoenix market. And just like you said, and then by the end of the year, we quadrupled that. Back down now, as we're sitting here, and we talk about it, because like you said, this is going out today, same way we're recording it. As of last night, we were just over 16,000. So think about that.
Oof.
We went
quadruple,
in less than
400% increase.
In less than 12 months, we went from 4,200 to just over 20,000 to back down just over 16,000 in 11 months.
That's crazy.
You want to talk about volatility?
Well, no, it was less than that. It wasn't 11 months because we would have been low inventory early quarter, right?
I'm saying this was in February and we're in January now. So, yeah,
11 months. Yeah, okay. I guess that makes sense. Yep. Well, I just think it's crazy that much volatility in one year.
That's a lot of volatility.
That's a roller coaster.
A lot of volatility.
All right, so here's one that I predicted, but not strong enough, apparently. Yeah. Like, I should have took a way stronger push on the money line here.
This was like you were predicting the over, and you're like...
Actually, I'm starting to think that you messed up a word here, so I'll tell in a sec. So okay. I predicted that rates are going to go up at least... It says 0.75 point, but I meant 3 points.
Oh,
okay. So I was trying to be really bold with my lock, but I didn't. So I said 0.75 point. So we were at about 4%. I was thinking, yeah, we'd be 4.75. We'd be in there. At least. I was like, we'll go up at least. I was too soft with it since we are now up over 7%. So my 3 points would have worked.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. That's doubling it pretty much.
And so once again, so you think about, this is what we talked about, guys. How many times over the last couple of years have we hit all-time records? So we hit all-time lows in inventory. We had record appreciation. We've hit the fastest increase in mortgage rates ever. Again, so another all-time record. Because like you're saying, we're talking about 0.75 point, 1% maybe. And here you go, and we're up almost over 3% in a year. Rates nearly doubled. We have never seen an increase that quickly. That quickly. That's never happened before. So, again, all-time records here. So, let's move on. We'll go through these a little bit quicker here with our bold predictions. This first one was just, these are...
Mistimed it. You might be a year too early.
I think so. So, we will end the year. This was Pete's bold prediction. We'll end the year lower... with lower mortgage rates than what we have today. So last January, we were at 4%, thought they were going up during the year and then coming back down. And again, way off, but I think it's the timing. Like you said, is they went up faster and higher than we thought and stayed there longer than we thought. Do think they're still going to stay up longer, but coming back down, drifting back down. And so, it's just all timing on that. How fast, how far they went, and how long they're staying there.
I said that three cities will not exceed 5% appreciation. And unfortunately, again, little timing off because I think I would have been solid with this had we had not the first quarter that we had. So the first quarter, we still went up like 10% almost.
And
it settled from there. So I got kind of screwed from that first quarter thinking that maybe a couple cities would have already outgrown their prediction. But no, everything was a little over 5% minimum. There was a couple that were close, but no cigar here. Yeah. So
next bold one from Pete, and this one was just dumb.
It might not have been dumb had rates stayed low.
For pushing this one again. Maricopa over 30% appreciation again. Incorrect. Maricopa did not see anywhere. It was less than half of that. Still double digits, though. I think there were 12 and
yeah, if we didn't have the rate issue, that could have been correct. Yeah. If rates stayed tight, you might have gotten that one because that would have been the one city that could have grown. Yeah. I don't think it was that bold, honestly.
It could have been. They'll probably start seeing it again once prices start going again. But this next one for you, this was one we could have put half and half. But I'll let you say it, and then we'll discuss it real quick.
One city will completely restrict or remove short-term rentals of less than 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
They are cracking down on the
That's
whips.
That's what I was going to say.
So it hasn't been legality, like it hasn't been city law yet. But we are feeling the heat.
Yeah, I think a lot of these, like it was kind of like close, but technicalities. So like that's one, like you're saying, you're seeing regulations from the state coming out, cities coming out. You're seeing Scottsdale has put in the laws now. You got to do background checks and you've got to notify neighbors and you've got to do all this stuff. So like you said, crackdowns for sure. But no one, the state prevented, as far as I understand it, from any cities being able to completely restrict.
You know, it is crazy because, like, you think about stuff like background checks and stuff like that. Hotels don't do that. They're not doing a background check if you want to stay at the Motel 8 that might be down the street.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot sketchier than a single-family house where the rent is three times more money than your typical actual long-term tenant rent. So it's a little rough in there. There's some arguments in there, but hey.
If I'm taking the other side of that, you know, the hotels are regulated in a lot of other ways and they have zoning areas of where those can be, which is not necessarily
next to
a residential neighbor, where I think is where some of that comes from.
Yeah, no, I get it. All right. So we got a couple fun ones here. Pete, tell me about your Jets, huh?
Oh, my God. Again, look at this. 1 year off and I was close.
This was we're going to talk about it.
This was the fun one. Jets make the playoffs in 2022. We just got knocked out, guys. We were right there.
Who did it?
Three quarterbacks.
Who did it? Who put you down?
I don't want to talk about it.
The Seahawks came in with fury and shut down the hopes and dreams of the Jets with a 23-6 loss to the Jets.
Here's all I want
to
say.
The Jets.
Here's what I want to say about my fun prediction.
Did you score a touchdown?
Here's what I want to say.
Nope.
I'm moving on from that. I'm a year early on all of these. So if you look back to
2021. They're not making the playoffs next year.
Listen, 2021, I predicted Russell Wilson would get traded from the Seahawks to the Broncos.
That's why I didn't put that here, because that was actually a lock.
I couldn't believe that. That was a year early, so I nailed that one. And then last year I have the Jets make the playoffs. Well, clearly I'm a year early. They're going to make the playoffs that year.
No, Pete, let's stop right. Anyway, stop while you're ahead.
What's your fun one?
I didn't. I don't think I had one.
I think you did.
Oh, so it was for the Seahawks, okay? And I said that a rookie quarterback will lead our team to a Super Bowl appearance. Now, we didn't have a rookie quarterback, so that's not 100% fair.
Yeah,
however, Geno Smith may lead us. We need a loss from the Green Bay Packers, and we may win. So here's the thing. Geno Smith never would have thought it, but hey, maybe next year we get a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, maybe
a year too early.
Yeah, I think you were saying any rookie quarterback, which is still not going to happen. So, but anyways, let's move on to 2023. So, guys, let's talk
Kenny
about
Pickett.
What is going
Here we go, baby. Come on, pretty, Steelers.
Pretty sure they're out of the
playoffs. No, they're not. They still got a chance.
Still technically
a
lot.
Yes, they are. Here we go.
Anyways, so let's talk about 2023.
Actually, no, we're going back. There is a man named Brock freaking Purdy on the 49ers that is leading his team to a playoff swing.
Mr. Irrelevant.
The last pick of the draft. We are going to circle this note, and we are going to take a peek in a couple weeks, and we will let you guys know. But don't forget old Brock for the old 49er.
Does it count, though, if he's only started like two games?
The last four games.
Does it lead his
last
team?
Four games, and he has lead? Won every game.
Yeah.
And they're heading into the playoffs. So.
Okay. Anyways, people want to know about what's happening this year.
What's happening this year?
Seahawks. Nobody wants to hear about them. So let's talk about what we're going to see this year, guys. We're going to talk about a little bit of real estate, a little bit of economics overall, and see what's going on here. So we'll do it again. We'll start it this way with our locks, our bold predictions, and a fun one in there.
All right.
So, Keith, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'm going to say that we're going to be on a holding pattern for a little bit here.
So this is gonna be, a lock. This is your lock. Okay.
I do not see rates dropping below 5.5% this year.
5.5%
Okay. And so here's the thing. A lot of people out there, they're talking about, oh, this is a short-term thing. I don't think it is. I don't think we see the effects of rates coming back until 2024. I really don't. I think this is a tight year. I think we see some sixes. I think we see maybe upper fives and we balance out. But I do not think we go below 5.5 again as we continue to see the Fed rate increase. And I think we have to stabilize inflation, which does take time. It cannot happen overnight. You can curb it. You can stop it for a short while. But it's still, you're going to see the effects of doing that. And it's still going to put pressure. So I'd say mortgage rates do not drop below 5.5% this year.
I can get on board with that. You know, I think the only potential risk that you have there is how bad a recession gets.
Yep.
And then towards the end of the year.
If they sneak it in.
So if they're looking at starting to talk about cutting rates maybe towards the end of the year, maybe they're going to do it in 2024, but the market starts pricing that in a little early, you know, that's where you got a little risk there. But I can
see
that.
And that's 30-year rates.
Yeah, and I think we're both saying that they're going to stay higher for longer. You know, depending on what that is. And that ties in with my first lock, which is Fed is targeting, right, for 2023. They're saying they're targeting a 3.4% inflation rate by the end of the year. My lock is that inflation will stay above the Fed's 3.4%.
So they can't stop it. You think it's happening?
I don't think we're getting there, you know, as quickly as they think. And so it's just like you said, these things take a lot longer. We've looked at the cycles in the past, and to get inflation back down once it's gone up as high as we've seen, it takes years.
Yeah.
It takes years. And so they were off this year. I think they're going to be off next year. Now, again, what's the risk here is that we see a huge recession that just drags everything down. So that's a whole other issue if we get there, though, because then we're talking about a massive recession.
Well, I mean, and they can continue to drag out rate increases in order to fight this. And that could also force that recession faster.
They could, right? And that's the issue. There is, you know, how much more can they keep going, because we're already seeing that recession.
Yep.
And so they keep going too much and for too much longer, they're going to push it down into a massive recession. And so that's the risk there. But I think lock is they stay above that 3.4%.
All right. So I got this is kind of a borderline lock bold, but I think I'm in a good grounds to speak to it. So we've seen sales transactions plummet this year compared to other years. I think this year we have the lowest amount of sales transactions over the last 5 years.
Oh, over the last 5 years. You threw that last part in there.
This is bold, bold, bold. Okay. But over the last, I might even go 5 to 10. This is my lock. I think if you look at the last 5 years, we will have lower sales transactions this year than the last five. If you go back 5 years, I mean, you're talking about 2017, 2018 area where we might be tight with that, but I think we're going to be under that. It's my lock. You want to go borderline bold, you could probably say in the last 10 to 15, maybe in the last century, like this last 2000s.
I mean, then you're talking about
since the 2000s.
2009, 2010 in there?
Yeah,
I don't know.
So like, but I'm thinking I wanted to do that. That was kind of like my bold, if you want to add a little bold action to it. But last 5 years, I think that's a lock.
Last 5 years, a lock. I think that makes sense. That probably makes a lot of sense to me. My second lock is going to be, again, a more of an economic one here.
Okay.
Stock market, we'll say S&P 500 to be exact, will have back-to-back down years for the first time in 20 years.
Going bearish, are we?
Going bearish. So it was down about 14% this year.
Okay.
And I am saying we will have another down year in 2023. The last time we had consecutive down years was 2000, 2001.
Do we see COVID lows?
COVID lows as far as the S&P?
That's 300, right?
You want me to go in with my first bold one?
Well, I mean, I don't see this as a bold one on your list. Do you think
I say we do.
We see COVID lows.
I think we do.
Do you think the S&P drops below what it was? This is a bold, bold prediction out there, viewers, so don't be selling some shorts or whatever, but you think we're lower than we were in March of 2020? That dip?
I think we get there. Whether it dips
this year,
whether it dips a little bit below that,
comes back or whatever. But you think we touch below than that?
I think we touch that. Wow. I think we touch the March the COVID lows and probably dip a little bit below. And there's, you know, for those of you that know me, you know, I like to dabble in that world and have for a long, long time. And I think when you're looking at, we're just getting started in this first quarter with that earnings recession. We were just talking before we went live here about the layoffs we're seeing,
yep.
The earnings misses that just started in the last quarter, and they're coming and they're not priced in yet.
Yep.
When you look at what they're pricing and you look at the forecast, they are not pricing in that recession. They are not pricing in all of those earnings being revised down, which is why I say when we price those in, and eventually they will, and I think that's going to happen in the first half here, I think we'll touch those COVID lows.
I'm with you. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll be a dogfight, but that's a little bit more of that bold for sure. All right, so I got one of my bold prediction.
Let's hear it.
Gilbert sees the biggest drop in price average.
Ooh, wow, the biggest drop.
I think it's Gilbert, because I think Gilbert swung higher and faster than some of the surrounding markets for what it is.
Yeah.
So I think Gilbert feels the pressure the fastest this year and has that highest price drop average. So if you look at the, I think we do see a negative loss next year.
On a percentage basis?
On a percentage basis, okay. Right? So clearly Scottsdale dollar-wise might take a bigger hit, but like percentage-wise, I don't know. I think they may swing still. So I'm going to pick Gilbert and I'm talking about, I'm going to add in a little push of cities with over 150,000 population.
Okay.
Because I don't want to include the Buckeyes or the Maricopas or anything. They may take a big hit, but like, yeah. I'm talking about the cities. I'm talking about Gilbert, Chandler, Phoenix,
the larger
Peoria,
cities.
Like some of these bigger cities. Yeah.
Okay. I can see it, because that's where I was going to go is, you know, you're going to see some
of those.
I don't
want to deal with the lower ones.
I was going to say, you're going to see some of those outskirts.
Florence, Casa Grande might drop. Because, significantly.
Yeah, you got to remember, you got to have distressed sellers. And if you've got lower income areas, you know, South Phoenix and different places like that, you might see some drops, some percentage drops. Where people are hurting. So, okay, that one's interesting. So let's tie that in to my first bold prediction. So we're seeing all this stuff. In fact, I just got a video about it this morning predicting these stock market on the brain over here. They got the real estate crash, the 2023 crash, double digits down, headlines out there, 20% down. I say Phoenix Metro does not see double digit price declines this year. We will see, as we've said many times, prices will come down.
Yeah.
But I think it will stay in the single digits.
So we could both hit these.
Yeah.
Gilbert could be the highest. At like 9% or something,
yeah.
And the rest of Phoenix average could be like 8.5, 7.
Well, or it could be, you know, Gilbert might be
12.
Right, I was going to say, they could be in a double digits and the whole Phoenix Metro might still be, you know, 9% or something.
That's interesting. All right, I like that. We could both win that one. Okay, number two. This is a bold, it's in the real estate industry, but not tied to numbers. I think two massive real estate companies go down, real estate brokerages.
Brokerages. Okay.
So actual broker registered companies.
Okay.
They either go down, they merge, or bought out. One of the three. So I'm talking about the Remaxes.
I was gonna say I'm talking about
the Century 21.
Talking like a top 10 inside.
I'm talking about a Coldwell, Realty Executive, somebody like that. Yeah. Two of those fish this year. This is bold. I should have probably said one, but I needed it to be bolder.
Too.
Bolder, dark roast, bold.
I could see that. There's probably one or two I have in mind. I think one will for sure.
And it may coincide with one of the companies you're about to say. Yeah. So why don't you share it with us?
And that ties into my second bold prediction here, which is Opendoor gets bought out this year. You know, we've talked about on previous shows, you know, because the question was out there and the CEO stepped down, they're losing money. Stock went under $1. Did you see that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so
he's getting tempted, but now he's starting to swing the other way.
Well, because, and then the questions started coming to Opendoor, are you guys going bankrupt and what's going on there? I say they get bought out. I don't see them folding, because I think somebody wants the platform. So I think they get bought out in 2023.
Yeah, I think they could. Now, does pride come before the vol? Do they just eat it and they don't get bought because they just can't? You know, there's those issues there too of like someone not taking them on.
It could, but I think with all that debt that they have and being a public company,
those owners are like, I think somebody, you're gonna, I need my money back.
They're gonna push them that way.
All right, okay.
Say, you know what? This is what's happening.
Okay, so well then, those are some good ones. I got my fun one. All right. Typically would go football, and everybody would like to say, "Hey, Seahawks will win the Super Bowl next year with a great defense." You know, I've also thought about, you know, does Pete Carroll get fired this next year? Who knows? Yeah. A little side bold. No.
He'll be there till he's
This
there.
Is what it's going to be. Tom Cruise is going to come back top of the charts, best actor.
Oh, he's going to win the Oscar.
He's going to win an Oscar for best actor 2023. I don't even know what movie it's going to be, but I have a fun bold that Tom Cruise is going to show up and say, "What's up?"
Is Top Gun? Was that? Did they already do? I don't follow that.
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. He should get it for Top, but you know, I think Miles Teller actually deserves it more than Tom Cruise. So, I don't know. I think Tom Cruise is going to come on the scene. Maybe it's a new Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
it's something. Something's going to happen.
I mean,
he's getting to that next tier. You know what I'm talking about? Where actors are like they're good at their age for so long, and then all of a sudden they got to jump into like the Morgan Freeman age. You know, that next range. Tom's almost 60.
Yeah, I was gonna say
he's almost 60.
Except the problem is he still looks like he's about 40.
You know, you got like the Robert Duvall. Like they got it. They leaped that year. You know, so that's Tommy this year. Will Smith was on my radar too. He's got a leap, but I haven't seen him in a while. He's mad at Chris Rock. That's what it is. He's just staying out of the industry.
All right. I'm going to finish it up here with my fun one. I am going football again. We're not going to, but we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going back to the quarterback trade.
Okay.
Because this is going to tie in with my team here.
Okay.
Derek Carr will be traded to the Jets.
And you know what? I'm going to tack onto that because that is interesting. I think it could happen. That's a fun bold.
Somewhere, right?
Okay. I'm going to add on and say that they still don't make the playoffs.
Oh, my God.
Okay, right. You get Derek Carr.
Anyways.
Hear me out, but Derek Carr had a great defensive line. He had Davante Adams, he had a star-studded team.
Okay, Garrett Wilson's no Davante Adams, but he's pretty damn good. And we have a defense that's way better than the Raiders.
Davante, let's stop while you're ahead, okay?
Anyways, guys, all right, so 13, looking forward to a good
13 years, no playoffs.
Looking forward to a great year here in 2023. We'll keep coming back at you guys with some updates and things going on around here. I would say, you know, we are going to have a down year here in Phoenix, like we said. It's going to be a challenging year, but don't let all the fear mongers out there scare you guys. Things are still holding up. Just like we said, I mean, look, we ended up, they'll have you know say that this year was terrible. Phoenix was still up 9.5% or whatever it was for the year.
Just think about it, guys. Do you want to buy a stock when it's the most expensive? Or do you want to buy a stock when it's on its way down a little bit? You know, you get a little deal. This might be your chance at a little liquidity, saving up, buy a deal where we haven't had deals in a while. So keep your eyes on that. Oversee some of the rates. Yes, there may be some issues there, but buying opportunities are always available in every market, in every condition. So think about that, guys. And again, follow us on all social media channels at the KP Elite. We're here to represent you guys and just continue to inform and build you guys in the market. So we'll see you guys next time.
See you guys.